Please be seated. For me, the first Sunday of Lent is always a difficult Sunday to preach unless, of course, you just decide to ignore all the texts. The Old Testament reading establishes the theme for us with Adam and Eve being tempted by the serpent. Most years, the gospel readings begin Lent as we begin today with the temptation of Jesus. And in the Old Testament, the devil wins. And in the gospel, Jesus prevails. And that's just not particularly breaking news. Of course, that's how it's supposed to happen. Adam and Eve, literally meaning human and life, well, they're us. Jesus is God incarnate. If the stories had worked out any other way, then there wouldn't be much point in us being here, would there? So I always, every year, I struggle with what to take from these stories. Jesus is Jesus, after all, and we're not. And it was in that yearly struggle that I realized something. I realized something I'd never considered before. I realized that I'm not so sure that I know what temptation means. Now think about that. We pray each week the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. What do we mean by that? Does God actually lead us into temptation? Do we think that? And if I were to go around this room this morning and ask you what temptation means, I guarantee you we'd get a surprising array of answers. For some, it means wanting to do something that you know you shouldn't. Or maybe someone else seducing you into something that's bad for you. Or trying to get someone else to do something that they don't want to do. Look up temptation in the dictionary. And it is defined as the act of tempting, which isn't particularly helpful, I know. But then look up tempt. One dictionary defines it as to entice to do wrong by promise of pleasure or gain. Pick up another dictionary, though, and it's defined as to entice or allure to do something, often regarded as unwise, wrong, or immoral. Often regarded? Good. There's a loophole. Does that mean that there are good temptations? Think about Jesus in the wilderness. Would it have been so very wrong if he'd taken on any of Satan's challenges? I mean, he certainly doesn't hesitate to work miracles later in his ministry. Water into wine, loaves and fishes to feed a crowd. The acts in and of themselves represent nothing wrong or immoral. But let's bring this a little closer to home. Before this day is over, I will be tempted to have something chocolate. Every day. And I will most likely succumb to that temptation. And besides the obvious damage that it does to my waistline, chocolate is neither wrong or immoral. However, if you've chosen to give up chocolate for Lent, well, that's a different story. And it occurs to me that defining temptation is so elusive because ultimately, it's very personal, and it's always contextual. I can't define temptation for you, and you can't define it for me. Temptation confronts us all through our insecurities, our fears, our feelings of incompleteness, and whether we trust God to meet those needs, whether we trust God to make good on God's promises. There was a 17th century French philosopher named Blaise Pascal who spoke of what it means to be human. And he contended that being human means that we all have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. He didn't view that as a flaw, but rather as a means by which God keeps us tethered to him. Isn't that idea wonderful? that we all possess a God-shaped hole. And it occurred to me that whether the context is Adam and Eve or Jesus in the wilderness or just you and me today, that temptation is so personal and contextual because it is about how we choose to fill that God-shaped hole. And we're trying to fill that hole every single day of our lives, whether we realize it or not. Any number of things will fit in that hole, but like an intricate piece of a puzzle, only one thing will fit it perfectly, and that is God's own self. Like Adam and Eve, we all live lives of plenty and peace in a beautiful garden created by God. Yet so often we still feel incomplete. Our focus so often is on what we lack instead of what we have. And the world tempts us with any number of things presented as perfectly shaped to fill that God-shaped hole. Remember on TV when advertisers used to just boast about the quality of their product. Ours is better than the other guy's. That's not the case anymore. Today, advertisements make promises less about the quality of their product and more about the imagined lifestyle that owning that product somehow can provide. A certain car, certain kind of computer, certain TV, certain kind of running shoes, that's what will add meaning to your lives. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but we also know it's true. We are so starved for meaning and purpose that we're driving ourselves crazy trying to fill that God-shaped hole with stuff. Stuff that somehow will make us feel less alone or less incomplete. Stuff that will make us more whole. But the truth is, today we are talking about God and temptation, not consumer goods or even the alleged sin of chocolate. And Lent is a time for us to fast and to pray and to think about those questions of who we are and what it is that we're here to do. It's a time to ponder and to be honest with ourselves about how we choose daily to fill that God-shaped hole. Seldom are we going to be tempted in grand ways, forcing us to decide between good and evil. And when we are, that's the easy part. Most often, we'll find ourselves tempted in everyday and sometimes mundane ways that force us to decide between what is hard and what is easy as we try to fill that God-shaped hole. Where instead of serving ourselves, we look for ways to serve others. Where instead of being motivated by fear, we're motivated by love. Where instead of being right, it's more important to listen and learn from each other. Where instead of working just for our own security, we work for peace and reconciliation. Where instead of seeking possessions, we seek wisdom. And where our wholeness is never determined by what we don't have, but rather the abundance of what we've already been given. As forgiven, redeemed, renewed, and beloved children of God, who by faith actually trust God to make good on God's promises. Tempted always to do the easy, but called to do the difficult. To believe the unbelievable and to never ever allow anything to separate us from God's love and faithfulness to us. God love you. Amen.